Live from the College of Communication, Arts and Sciences at Michigan State University, it is now time to go beyond the X's and the O's with WKAR's current sports.
You want to go after an athlete, one of my athletes, come after me. I'm a man. I'm 40.
My style is impetuous. My defense is impregnable.
Well, I'm the best corner in the game. When you try me with a sorry receiver like Crabtree, that's the result you're going to get.
Yes, did I express to them I was mad? I was furious. Just furious.
I know my wife will at least shut fake one time.
We're talking about practice, not a game.
And I told our players, you need to be more like a dog. We don't need a bunch of cats in here. Looking in the mirror. Do I look good? I got my extra bands on. I got my other shoes on. Be a dog. We don't need no meows. We don't need no cat.
Here's your host, L. Martin.
What is up, beautiful people? Happy Tuesday, October 17th, 2017. So glad you've allowed us to be a part of your weekday afternoon yet again. We've got an entertaining hour in store for you all right here on WKAR AM 870 94.5 FM. And today is a bit of a special day because October 17th, 2017 marks 2 years to the day that this moment happened.
Well, he has trouble with the snap, and the ball is free. It's picked up by Michigan State's Jalen Watts Jackson, and he scores on the last play of the game. Unbelievable.
I'm sorry, Michigan fans. I had to do it. Yes, October 17th, 2015.
No!
Yeah. And, you know, I actually have an interesting montage that rolls in the local calls from Spartan Sports Radio as well as U of M's football broadcast of that very moment that I think will be very entertaining as well. But yeah, 2 years to this day is when, of course, the miracle at the Big House happened and Jalen Watts Jackson became a local celebrity here in East Lansing. Michigan had to start off by playing that. But other than that, we have a great hour in store for all of you out there that will hit on a multitude of topics. Starting off with the Detroit Lions. Unfortunate news concerning wide receiver of the Lions, Golden Tate, that news breaking yesterday. We briefly touched upon that on yesterday's current sports. We'll recap the Lions' loss, the Wild Lions' loss, I should say, to the New Orleans Saints on Sunday, and we'll address the injury to Golden Tate and what it means for the Honolulu Blues offense moving forward. We will also invite live to Studio West Damon Rensing, who is the head coach of the Michigan State men's soccer program. Damon hit a career milestone over the weekend as the men's soccer team was able to pull out a rainy win over the Penn State Nittany Lions. Damon Rensing now has 100 career wins. Pretty impressive stuff. Damon will join us around the 1:30 mark, and then on the back end of the show, we will highlight this morning's Mark D'Antonio press conference. Mark D'Antonio, coach of the Michigan State football team, addressed the media as his team now prepares to possibly move to 6-1 on the year as they will welcome the Indiana Hoosiers for a 3:30 p.m. kickoff for homecoming as Indiana gave the Michigan Wolverines all they could handle this past weekend. And we also hope to touch upon Colin Kaepernick, who has decided to file a grievance against the National Football League. And today feels like Christmas for our engineer Isaac Constance and myself. We are NBA nuts. And today marks the start of the National Basketball Association regular season. That's right, Isaac. Hand clap for that, right? So we'll briefly preview the NBA year. As you see, a ton to get to. You know how we start this party. Here are your current sports quick hit headliners. We start with the Detroit Red Wings. The Wings lost their second game of the season last night to the Tampa Bay Lightning 3-2. The Wings were tied with the Lightning 2-2 heading into the third period, but the Lightning's Nikita Kucherov, he put it away early in the third period with his second goal of the game and his seventh goal of the game. Justin Applicator and Mike Green had two goals for the Wings. Detroit's next game will be against an old friend in Mike Babcock and the 4-1 Toronto Maple Leafs tomorrow night in Toronto. Puck drop scheduled for 7:30 p.m. Moving along, the Detroit Pistons announced today a group of singers to entertain fans attending the franchise's first regular season game at Little Caesars Arena on Wednesday night, as the Pistons will play host to the Charlotte Hornets. Five-time Grammy-nominated singer Skylar Grey will perform at halftime of the game against the Charlotte Hornets. Detroit legend Eminem served as an executive producer on Grey's debut album, Don't Look Down, which debuted at number 8 on the U.S. Billboard 200 chart back in 2013. I sound like a DJ right now. Michigan native and 2016 American Idol contestant Manny Torres will perform at the LCA Plaza beginning at 6 p.m. and will sing the national anthem prior to tip-off. Lions wide receiver Golden Tate will have to miss a few weeks of action after suffering an AC joint sprain in his shoulder during the Lions' loss against the New Orleans Saints this past Sunday. Now, Tate left the game against the Saints during the third quarter and wasn't available to the media after the game. Head coach Jim Caldwell did not provide an update on Tate or other injured players when talking to the media yesterday. Tate leads the team in receptions with 36 and receiving yards with 363. Tate also has two touchdowns on the year, with one of them coming against the Saints this past weekend. The renovations for the Breslin Center are just about finito, as the dedication for the Hall of History will take place this Friday at 4 p.m. at the Breslin Center. The Hall of History cost about $20 million thanks to donations and is a part of the $50 million renovations of the Brez. Other renovations done to the Breslin include expanding the concourse around the Breslin, renovated bathrooms and concession stands, along with security improvements. We hope to bring you a few visuals on that ribbon-cutting ceremony this Friday at 4 p.m. Isaac, we got a sneak peek of it at MSU Men's Basketball Media Day last week. Our jaws, I think we're still picking up our jaws off the floor after taking a brief peek into the window of that new addition, as well as, you know, even like the media entrance to where you enter during games now is a bit different, and it culminates, well, I should say it dedicates a part of itself to Michigan State men's basketball history in that long hallway. Pretty impressive so far. We haven't even seen the inside of it. Mostly the inside of it, I should say.
It's stunning. I should say that people won't only be taking pictures by the Magic Johnson statue anymore. There's a lot of pictures, a lot of names that fans are going to want a snapshot of.
Yeah, for sure. So, again, that ceremony will take place at 4 p.m. on Friday. All right, the MSU men's golf team placed fifth after 2 days in the Crooked Stick Invitational in Indiana, shooting one over par, 577 total strokes over that span. The Spartans are currently playing in the final round and are scattered between holes 9 and 12 as we speak. The Spartans currently sit in sixth place, shooting 10 over par, making their total on the tournament 11 over par. Now, after the Crooked Stick Invitational, the Spartans will play in its final tournament of the fall, playing in the Quail Valley Intercollegiate down in Vera Beach, Florida, from October 23rd to the 24th. The League Championship Series is still underway in Major League Baseball playoff action, as Game 4 of the ALCS takes place today at 5:08 p.m. between the Houston Astros and the New York Yankees, while Game 3 of the NLCS to start at 9:01 p.m. as the Chicago Cubs take on the L.A. Dodgers in the Chi. The Yankees beat the Astros 8-1 last night in Yankee Stadium and look to even the series tonight on home turf. Lance McCullers Jr. will take the mound for Houston, and Sonny Gray will take the mound for the Yanks. In the Cubs-Dodgers matchup, Yu Darvish will take the mound for the Dodgers, and Kyle Hendricks will man the mound for the Cubs, as the Cubs look to bounce back at Wrigley Field after falling behind in the series 2-0. And positive news from the world of golf concerning, still, I believe, golf's most popular name, Tiger Woods, 6 months after fusion surgery on his lower back, after that surgery kept him from swinging a golf club until recently, Tiger Woods has been cleared to resume full golf activity with no restrictions. Mark Steinberg, Woods' agent, said on Monday that the 14-time major champ met with the doctor who performed the surgery on April 19th for a checkup late last week. And all things look positive right now. So congrats to Tiger Woods. I saw the video that he posted on his Instagram account. And looks like he's swinging the club with no pain, it looks like. So that's at least a positive sign. All right, that wraps up your current sports quick hit headliners. If you want to call in to be a part of the show, 517-355-9527, 517-355-9527. Again, you can also go to our social media pages at facebook.com/currentsports and even tweet us at Al Martin, WKAR, or at WKAR_sports.
Michigan State wins it with a 37-yard fumble return on a punt that is mishandled by Blake O'Neal.
Now I've got a love so deep in the pit of my heart, and each day it grows more and more. I'm not ashamed to come and plead to you, baby, if pleading keeps you from
Oh, man, that joint never gets old, you know. Quick story. We just had behind the glass one of our fantastic reporters, Kevin Lavery. And, you know, Kev is a huge Motown fan. And actually, as I was prepping for today's current sports and kind of racking my brain as to how I wanted to introduce today's show, which song I should play. And I said, I got to go Motown. I want to go Temptations. And I'm like, if I play this, I know, because Kevin is such a big Motown fan, he's going to come in here and comment or do something. And he came in here and he was actually doing, looked like the Motown, you know, Temptations dance. Yeah, it looked like he was, you know, one of the Temptations for a second. So shout out to Kevin Lavery and shout out to Motown. Gosh, I know that got a few of our listeners moving and grooving on this Tuesday. Happy Tuesday, October 17th, 2017. And as I mentioned at the top of the hour, again, today is the 2-year anniversary of that moment. You heard the two calls The first one from Michigan State's play-by-play announcer and color commentator for Spartan Sports Radio, George Blaha, along with Jason Strayhorn, as Jason just lost his mind during that moment at the Big House. And then after that, you heard the play-by-play voice of the University of Michigan football team, Jim Brandstatter, who was a bit sad in the booth after watching that, having to relay the news to the Wolverine fans who couldn't plop in front of a TV to check out that game. So, again, yeah, 2 years ago. I can't believe it's been 2 years now since that moment. And going back to the Temptations real quick, Isaac, you know I'm a big music buff. If I had to ask you, because I know you're a hip-hop guy. I'm a hip-hop guy myself, really briefly, because I'm gonna go into the lines in just a moment. But if I had to ask you, who is the most sampled, or which group is the most sampled, or which artist, period, is the most sampled old school artist for hip hop? Who would you say? Is it a group? Is it an individual? Who would you say if you had to take a guess at that?
It's a great question.
I didn't learn this until like last week when I was watching Hip Hop Squares on VH1.
Wow.
I don't watch that show regularly. It just happened to be on after.
Oh, even
after
so. No, no.
Right?
There are worse shows that you watch. I'd give you a lot of flack if that was the worst you watched. Trust me.
It came on after Love and Hip Hop, man. All right?
Yeah, exactly. So. That's what I'm referring to. But I'd have to say, and this is going to be off.
It's an easy
Otis
one.
Redding?
No. Don't overthink it. It's real easy. I'll give you one more step. You said Otis Redding? No.
Michael Jackson?
No. Nope. One more. Three strikes and you're out.
Now I'm just not going to get it.
Three strikes and you're out.
This is going to be embarrassing.
It's really easy.
It's going to be embarrassing. I mean, I'm trying to think.
Give me one more.
Old school R&B guy?
Like Motown era.
James Brown?
Bam. Got it. Ding, okay.
I was thinking that, but yes. I haven't heard that many James Brown samples recently.
Oh. Well, maybe not recently.
Yeah.
Today's hip-hop isn't hip-hop, so
they throw R&B out the window.
It's
mumble
rap. I hate today's hip-hop, but overall, James Brown is the most sampled artist in hip-hop history. So, all right, Detroit Lions. We didn't get a chance to highlight this yesterday, Isaac. The Detroit Lions fell to the New Orleans Saints 52-38, a high-scoring affair. Wow. I mean, that was a crazy game. That is one of the wildest NFL games I have seen in quite some time, and I was on the verge of just turning it off and getting back to work because the Lions at one point in that game, they were down 45-10 in the third quarter. I was really getting close to saying, my Cowboys aren't playing. I'm watching this horrible game from the Lions. Why waste my time? I was going to click over to NFL Red Zone and just kind of follow the action that way. But the Lions, with the loss, will head into the bye week at 3-3. And everything that, could have went wrong in this game for the Detroit Lions did. Yet, they still had an opportunity to tie the game late in the final stanza. I couldn't believe that. Again, down 45-10 in the third quarter, the Lions go on to score four straight touchdowns, including one on a 74-yard punt return by Jamal Agnew, the rookie. And that's actually Jamal's second kick return for, to the house of the year. How remarkable is that? The last time that's happened for a Lions rookie was way back in 1951. However, Jamal did put the team in a bad position as I don't know what he was doing on that one kick return where he caught the football, decided to get just too fancy with it. He runs backwards and gets tackled at, it almost was a safety. It was like, it was almost a safety back in Detroit Lions territory. And then Matthew Stafford just pinned back, couldn't do anything. Throws it, just an errant throw in which was another throw in which the defensive line of the Saints got a paw on it, interception, touchdown. The game essentially was over at that moment for me. But how about, A'shaun Robinson's close range interception as well? I mean, a lineman on the Lions side, able to score six. So weird. Close range interception near the Saints goal line in less than 15 minutes of the game clock to pull as close as 45-38 with about 7 minutes left to play. I couldn't believe that the Lions were still in that game. Crazy, right? So you look at how this season pans out now for the Detroit Lions. The Lions have now gone 0-3 against teams in the NFC South. They have lost to the Carolina Panthers. They have lost to the Atlanta Falcons. And now they have lost to the New Orleans Saints. I got to address this because I feel like a lot of Lions fans yet again, are not looking at the whole picture here and are blaming what occurred on Sunday, blaming that on the shoulders of Matthew Stafford, primarily on the shoulders of Matthew Stafford. I have seen multiple comments from at least my followers on my Twitter feed blaming Matthew Stafford, especially the fact that Matthew Stafford was not 100% healthy in that game. They felt like he should have sat down. I agree with that point. Maybe, you know, Jim Caldwell should have gone with somebody else because, my goodness, I mean, Matthew Stafford is really going through it this year. He was sacked 5 times on Sunday for 31 yards. He tossed 3 interceptions. He has been sacked, what, 17 times over the past 3 games? I mean, that's crazy. That is insane. I had to do a double take when I saw that number. 23 sacks on the year, more than any other quarterback in the National Football League. He was sacked 6 times last week against Carolina, 6 times the week before that. He has been dealing with an ankle injury because of it. It could be much worse. I think Lions fans right now, you need to count your blessings because the fact that Matthew Stafford has been sacked 17 times over the past 3 games and hit I don't know how many times throughout these last few weeks, and the fact that he's still up and conscious right now, I fear for Matthew Stafford's long-term health. You know, in today's CTE world that we live in, my goodness. Wow, Matthew Stafford. I don't know how the dude, talk about tough. I don't know how the dude gets up every single Sunday, puts on the pad, straps up the helmet, and goes out there. That is crazy to me. And again, the rest of the team isn't helping. You know, you look at the 12 deflections. Yeah, 12 deflections by the Saints defensive line at the line of scrimmage. The Lions run game, you know, so I'm really harping on this offensive line for the Lions like I've been doing for I don't know how long. The offensive line was not great. 12 deflections by the Saints DL, and then the Lions run game only to amass 66 yards on the ground. The Lions running attack right now is 28th out of 32 teams in the league. Now, I want to pass this message along to you all because I feel like, you know, there are a lot of hopeless Lions fans out there right now. And again, I warned you, not to toot my own horn, but I did warn them, Isaac, when looking at the start for the Lions, everybody was pretty high on them.
This is our time to call out Austin.
Exactly. Austin Austin said 12 wins right now. And I see Austin right now. He's tuned in via Facebook. I'd love to hear from Austin right now, to be honest with you. Yeah, 12 wins. I don't think that's happening when looking at this team right now. But the fact that the Detroit Lions, and this is what makes protecting Matthew Stafford even more important. The Detroit Lions right now in the NFC North are the only team that still has its starting quarterback intact. The news from Green Bay's camp, Aaron Rodgers taking that big hit and injuring his collarbone. It looks like Aaron Rodgers, I still feel like they're holding on to some hope because the official announcement hasn't come out that Aaron Rodgers is done for the season. I saw that he's going to have surgery in the, quote, near future. But it looks like Aaron Rodgers' season is done now. Right now, the Lions in the NFC North are the only team still with its starting quarterback intact. And again, it speaks to the toughness of Matthew Stafford because he's been sacked more than any other quarterback in the league. What a weird game, though. And you know what? I like how Kyle Mankey of MLive.com put it. This is what Kyle said in his in one of his many stories profiling the Lions' loss against the Saints. Quote, "This is a joke. Although Stafford isn't laughing, I've attended more than 100 of his press conferences since 2013, and I have never seen him more frustrated than I did after this game. Stafford looked like he was clenching his teeth, just white-knuckling his way through it until he could shower and head for the bus," end quote. Again, that's Kyle Mankey of MLive.com, his comments to Matthew Stafford and his overall demeanor after the loss to the Saints. But an odd game, you know, overall. So, again, I say that to say this. My first point, it's not Matthew Stafford's fault. The Lions right now, that offensive line needs to do a better job protecting him. Because if he keeps taking these kind of hits, not only is he not going to last the rest of this season, But this is your long-term quarterback. I mean, this is your franchise quarterback here. You just paid him the biggest contract in the NFL. Yet you put him out there every single week to risk injury like that. Now, in defense of the Lions, they are going through a lot of injuries themselves. You know, again, Matthew Stafford was not 100% in that game. And should he have sat out? Yeah, maybe, right? Because he was not 100%. But again, the Lions don't even have a backup quarterback that can come in and run the offense, to be honest with you. But look at the injuries for this team right now. This is the Lions injury report, at least right now. Again, they head into a bye week, which comes at an oh-so-needed time, because now these respective players get a chance to rest up. But this is how it looks right now. Paul Warlow out with a knee injury. Ezekiel Ansah has a knee injury. Kenny Golladay has a hamstring injury. TJ Lang back. His back actually flared up right before kickoff against the Saints. And just for precautionary reasons, Jim Caldwell and the coaching staff made a decision to keep him out of the game. I mentioned Matthew Stafford, who's not 100%. He's listed to have an ankle injury. Rick Wagner, shoulder. Dwayne Washington, quad. Glover Quinn, groin. Greg Robinson, doesn't even say what his injury is, but he's on the injury report. Tahir Whitehead, pectoral injury. Then you have injuries to Taylor Decker. Jared Davis did suit up, but again, he sat out, I believe, 2 weeks straight due to his injury. The rook for the defense, the rookie linebacker for the defense. And now you have Golden Tate, who will be out a few weeks. Now, I'm not making any excuses here because there are a lot of injuries across the entire spectrum of the NFL at this point in the season. However, you look at these injuries and to some key components. I mean, Ezekiel Ansah, TJ Lang, who's on that offensive line. You know, Dwayne Washington. Now, you know, Golden Tate, who is Stafford's favorite target. That's going to hurt this team. Pun intended. That really is. It really is. So the Lions moving forward now, you know, at one point, you know, it's funny because I looked at the NFL power rankings and, you know, 2 weeks ago, they had the Lions listed as the second best team in the league, right behind the Kansas City Chiefs, who took a tumble to the Pittsburgh Steelers. Now, I don't know where you put the Lions. I think maybe middle of the pack right now. And again, it helps that the Lions are playing in the NFC North because, you know, the Minnesota Vikings don't have Teddy Bridgewater. Teddy, it looks like slowly but surely he's going to get back to game action. You know, you look at the Green Bay Packers now without Aaron Rodgers. I really believe that the Packers are going to take a nosedive now because Aaron Rodgers is the Green Bay Packers. I think that the defense is a bit overrated offensively. Now without A-Rodge, that's going to be tough for the Packers now. Then you have the Chicago Bears. That situation isn't great there. They don't have their starting quarterback. You know, Mitch Trubisky, you know, has come in as the quarterback there. The Lions, 3-3 right now. The Vikings and the Packers are tied in first place of the NFC North with a record of 4-2. For the Lions moving forward now, again, they have a bye, but then it doesn't get easier as they will have to play a team that I believe knocked off the best team in the National Football League in the Kansas City Chiefs. They will play Le'Veon Bell, Ben Roethlisberger and company, the Pittsburgh Steelers on October 29th. And then they will play. Now, I must say, if they beat the Steelers, Isaac, I believe that they could probably beat Green Bay without Aaron Rodgers. And then you play, thank goodness, you play the Cleveland Browns. And then you play, you know, the Chicago Bears. Let's say they beat the Steelers. I could realistically see the Lions going on possibly a three-game win streak here. But the key is health right now for this team. This team needs to get healthy. And fans, Lions fans, it's more than just Matthew Stafford. You got to look at the bigger picture.
Part of it, though, I got to say, Al, is Matthew Stafford. I thought he did not look great that game against the Saints. And it's not because of all of the pressure he was getting. That was part of it. And he was not perfectly healthy coming in. And as that game progressed, you saw him clutching his ribs at several different times. He was battered. He was bruised during that game. There's not a question about it. Like I said, the Saints made that a mission to go out and try to pummel the Lions defensively, to try to shake him up. But the thing is, his vision at times that game, he missed a wide open slot receiver in the end zone that could have cut the score down even more one time. He had a few missed opportunities. I'm not saying it's his fault, but he was not stellar that game. And I still believe this to be one of his worst seasons in recent years. Now, with that being said, the Saints defended and deflected 16 passes on Sunday. 16.
And 12 That's of the those most. Coming from the defensive line.
Exactly. That's the most. Yeah. And guess how long? Give me a guess.
Since in like 1980?
2006.
Oh,
but
wow.
I believe that previous margin was tied for the top all time. And the thing is, when defensive linemen get deflections, any football coach will tell you this, it's not just the quarterback's fault if he's throwing it low. Sometimes he got a bullet one in there. But as an offensive lineman, your job is to get enough of a push, to keep your guy down, to keep him rooted to the ground. Mm-hmm. And the Saints' defensive line had a strategy throughout that game. The Lions' offensive line, especially, I believe it was when Wagner checked out, they were impotent. They could not do a thing to stop Cam Jordan, amongst others. So that line, it is true, that's where the problems start. Thing with the Lions is, this is the first game that you can point to in some time where probably you don't blame the defense all that much. Yeah, the Lions
defense?
The Lions gave up 52 points. Now, three were defensive touchdowns.
The field position was horrible.
And Drew Brees threw for two touchdowns, two interceptions. You would take that any given game going against Brees.
You got to put this on the Lions defense as well, Isaac. I mean, this defense is one, and again,
I'm not talking about the season. I'm talking about this last game.
Sunday, the Saints rushing attack to allow Mark Ingram and the rook, Alvin Kamara, to go off like they did, that's inexcusable. And we have not seen that from this Detroit Lions defense so far this season.
But
they allowed Ingram to get loose. Mark Ingram had 114 yards.
He was phenomenal.
That never happened.
Yeah.
That never happened.
It did a lot last year.
And Alvin Kamara was 75. That Lions defense bent and broke. Finally, when it came to a rushing attack against the opposition.
But they don't break at all if the Lions defense is not on the field. 3-minute intervals apart. If the Lions offense can stay on the field, the Saints don't score 52.
That's a point as well. But again, that rushing attack, it was established from the get-go, and the Saints did a great job. I mean, Drew Brees, if somebody would have told me that Drew Brees was going to throw just for 186 yards and have two picks in that game, I would have said, there's no way the Saints win that game. It was helped with that rushing attack in combination with the mistakes that the Lions made offensively. 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. Let's hit our first break because we do have our guest waiting patiently behind the glass right now. He is our dear friend, Damon Rensing, MSU men's head soccer coach who hit a career milestone over the weekend. We'll talk about that and so much more. You are listening to WKAR's Current Sports. Welcome back to WKAR's Current Sports. I am your host, Al Martin. We just finished up a chat about the Detroit Lions, who now enter their bye week, sitting at 3-3, 500 on the year. They will, again, have this week off, and then they will welcome the Pittsburgh Steelers to Ford Field after that. Curious, Isaac, just briefly looking at the entire landscape of the NFL, quick question. If you had to choose your top three teams in the NFL right now, because, again, no more undefeated teams after looking at what the Pittsburgh Steelers were able to do against the Chiefs over the weekend, but who would be your top three real quick?
Top three, I would still go Patriots number three, defending champs, give them the benefit of the doubt, number two, Probably go Atlanta. I think Atlanta's bounced back from a tough few games.
Did you see the Dolphins almost beating
you're
them?
Right, yeah.
Oh, my goodness.
So I'd have to evaluate, you know, that team a little bit more closely.
Yeah.
It's off the top of my head. But the NFC itself more or less has been in shambles this year. Every single team, I would have picked the Packers at that number two spot. I'm not picking the Packers anymore, that's for sure. And then the Chiefs at number one. How about you?
You still go with Chiefs. No, and again, yeah, the Falcons falling to the Dolphins at home, nonetheless, right?
The Eagles are up there, too.
Bam, I'm going Eagles.
Okay.
Eagles
okay.
Right now, I think that, now again, it's so much parity in the league, but I'm going Eagles, Chiefs, and then Patriots. That's how my top three look, at least. So, all right. Well, right now, live in Studio S, we now invite our guest for today's Current Sports. He is a man who has now hit a career milestone, capturing his 100th win as the Michigan State men's soccer team shut down Penn State 1-0 at a really rainy and soggy DeMartin Stadium on Saturday afternoon. To talk about that win and so much more, we welcome Damon Rensing, head coach of the MSU men's soccer team, live here on Current Sports. Damon, how you doing? Good seeing you.
Good, L, man. I'm doing great. Thanks for having me.
Always a pleasure seeing you, Damon. Now, I want to go back to win number 100 over the weekend. And again, I want to also let our listeners know we passed this news along to them on yesterday's Current Sports, but your soccer game against Oakland that was scheduled for today has been canceled due to the inclement weather last weekend. And you all will play on Friday at Northwestern, 8:30 p.m., right?
It's actually 8 o'clock.
8 o'clock.
7 o'clock local, 8 o'clock Eastern time. They shifted the game time up. So, yeah.
Gotcha.
Big conference game in Northwestern. If we would win at Northwestern, we would then host Indiana the following weekend for a chance to have a share of the Big Ten title.
How about that? Exciting times here in East Lansing. So, first off, Damon, getting win number 100. I have to ask you about it, and I can pretty much predict the answer because you're so humble, I know, but win number 100. I mean, that's pretty impressive, Damon. What was that like, and has it set in now that you've had a few days to process it?
It's set in a little bit. I think you reflect a lot on, you know, you get a great university to work at. I've had great support. Thankful that Mark Hollis gave me a chance to do this. I was a 34-year-old assistant, you know, when he hired me. So I'm sure there was more credible candidates at the time, but I thank him for the faith that he had in me. And, you know, I think the one thing that you're proud of is, for me, it's 100 wins over 9 seasons. So you're averaging over, you know, 10 wins a season. So I think there's a level of consistency there that we feel pretty good about. You're always going to have maybe one or two down years, but over 9, it's been pretty consistent.
Definitely. Damon, what's it like? What's it been like coaching this program? What's the biggest thrill about coaching this this program?
Well, I think just the fact that I played here, you know, and then be able to come back and see some of the things that you do differently, keep the things that you really loved about the program. Joe had an awesome family atmosphere and culture, chemistry. The alumni are great. So so that was one of the things that we wanted to keep and we've tried to keep. So I really enjoyed that. I love coaching in the Big Ten. I mean, to go travel and play at all the other Big Ten universities is really cool. But more importantly, I just love being around the guys. I mean, they keep you young. They keep you excited. They have a passion for soccer. They have a passion for Michigan State. And, you know, there's always ups and downs with it, but they're a fun group of guys to be around with. You know, 25, 18 to 22-year-old guys are fun.
Have to ask, with you reaching triple digits now in the win column, which MSU coaches reached out to you and what did they have to say?
You know, we've got a really good group there, and they've all been pretty good with that. So it's been pretty cool. It wasn't after this game, but after we won at Michigan, you know, I got a call from Coach D, and he gave me the bus ride story. He said, you know, there's no better bus ride than a win at Michigan. And he was right. He was right. So
right?
I gave him a text a couple weeks later and let him know that it's going to be a great bus ride home for those guys. But no, it's a great group, and everybody stays connected.
Well, I tell you what, speaking of people reaching out to you, we have actually one of our listeners who want to congratulate you on the milestone. We've got Luke from Grand Rapids on line one. Luke, you are chatting with head coach Damon Rensing.
Hey, Damon, congrats. Just wanted to reach out and say awesome job this season. It's been incredible watching the team. And Al, I don't know how much you know about this guy, but he is one of the best coaches that you'll see on campus. I know we got a great group at MSU, but Damon just has been an incredible person in that program and has lifted it to another level. And I think this team might be one of the most talented. I know when I was at school, we had two guys right now in MLS at a pretty good squad. But Damon, I think this year this team is going to be pretty stacked. So just want to say congrats and thanks for all your hard work. And as a student and a fan, seeing your success has just been incredible. And we got the lights, so I'm excited to go to a game under the lights.
It'd be great to have you back. You can teach these current Red Cedar Rowdies. Luke's one of the founders of the Rowdies, so you can teach him some of the good chants you guys used to bring on.
I'm gonna have to warm up my pipes. It's been a while. So.
we may have to bring in Luke and the crew to you know, just kind of walk us through what they do. Have them get rowdy on Current Sports. How's that sound, Luke? We may have to do that one day, man.
That sounds good. Just give them a little pep talk. So.
All right, Luke, thank you so much, man. Appreciate the call.
Thanks for calling.
Absolutely. Congrats, Damon.
Thank you.
Damon, when you hear Luke and the Spartan fan base bring to you words of encouragement like that, I mean, just kind of touch on one. Can you touch on the fans here at Michigan State and what they've meant to you?
Yeah, no, the fans have been great, you know, and you know, you've got two communities here. You've got a Spartan community, but you also got a local Lansing area soccer community, you mm-hmm. know, and so the combination of those two, you've got Spartan fans that are all over the country that come back and you know, they show up and root for every team. And then you've got also this local soccer community, which is great. And now I've been in the community for 19 years. I've got a wife, I've got two kids. So I've met more and more people within the community. And so that just keeps getting bigger and bigger too. So it's been really special to be a part of the community, live in the community, and then have people from that community support our soccer program.
Without a doubt, Damon. So you look at this year, you heard Luke touch upon it. I mean, you guys are rolling right now. You all improve with the win over Penn State this past weekend to 10-2-2 overall, 4-0-2 in Big Ten action. Very impressive stuff. What do you think has made this team special so far, Damon?
Well, we're really well balanced. There's not any kind of weak links on the field. I think in years past, we might have had a couple more talented teams, but maybe a young, inexperienced person at a certain position. These guys are all really interchangeable, and we're pretty deep. We can go 15, 16 players deep, and they're just real well-balanced. We don't play a lot of freshmen, so we've got guys that are really experienced. Even our sophomores were starters last year. So you've got a really experienced group. We've only given up, I think, 7 or 8 goals on the year and mm-hmm. 4 in one game. So if you think about 11 of the games, we've only given up 4 goals. I think we've got 8 shutouts or something like that. So mm-hmm. Don't give up goals. Really well-balanced team. And we're starting to score. DeJuan Jones, who's an East Lansing High grad, former Mr. Soccer, has got 6. And Sarakowski, who's first team All-Big Ten, has got 5. So those guys are starting to get going, which is good.
You know, it's pretty amazing watching DeJuan this season because, you know, I remember interviewing him and, you know, having his family on Current Sports TV before he even played a game for your program, Damon. And, you know, as you just noted, he won Michigan Mr. Soccer. And I'm like, oh, man, he's going to have a great career. And finally, we're starting to see him, you know, put it all together. What's been different about DeJuan this season in comparison to when he first got on campus?
Well, I think it's tough for any freshman. I mean, DeJuan helped us in some games his freshman year. And then he was a little riddled with some injuries as a sophomore. He started to get it going last year and really showed some good signs then. Had a couple injuries at the beginning, at the end. And I think he's just been able to kind of all put it together. I tell everybody every year the game slows down a little bit for you. Mm-hmm. And so he's starting to see things. And he's a special talent, and he's got some really good instincts and abilities around the goal. So I think it's all starting to come together for him.
Definitely. I'm pretty sure he's riding high right now, right?
Yeah.
But he's hard. He seems like a very hardworking kid, too.
He's as good as a soccer player is. He's even that much better of a person. He's got elementary education mm-hmm. major, if that tells you anything about a person. So he likes being around. He likes teaching younger kids. And so he's a good person on off the field.
Absolutely love that. Again, if you're just now joining us here on WKAR's Current Sports, we are chatting with Damon Rensing, the head coach of the Michigan State men's soccer program. Again, right now, you look at your Big Ten start, Damon, 4-0-2 in the Big Ten, as I mentioned. This is the best start in school history, the best Big Ten start in school history for the program. The most Big Ten wins that MSU ever had is 5 in both 08 and 2014. Do you expect to eclipse that record, Damon?
Well, we'll see. I mean, hopefully if we can at least tie it on Friday as mm-hmm. a good Northwestern team. But That would move us into a tie for first place with Maryland, and if Indiana would win against Wisconsin at home, then they would also be tied, and that would set up Maryland would host Michigan for the last game of the year, and we would actually host Indiana, who's currently undefeated and one in the country. So a win at Northwestern would set up a potential top five, another top five matchup at DeMartin a week from Sunday, which would be pretty cool, and also for a share of the title. But we've got to take care of Northwestern. You know, that's the coach speak there. But
one game at a time.
One
right?
game at a time. Yeah, so all that stuff. But yeah. If we can take care of a business at Northwestern, it could set up for a pretty good home weekend.
Damon, this conference is so competitive. How have you been able to have the kind of success you've had in this conference?
I think it's a mental grind. You got to have the guys ready for that. You got to be able to not give up goals and battle. And I think we've got a bunch of good blue collar talented kids. I always joke, just because we say we're blue collar doesn't mean we're not talented. But
right.
you got to have both.
Right.
If you're just talented, you're not going to do much. So these guys come to work. They know it's going to be tough 2-1 games in soccer, and they do a great job of dealing with that. If we've got a one goal game, they're willing to put their body on the line, slide, block, do whatever it takes to get that win. And I think that's really important in Big Ten soccer.
I want to ask you about the win over Penn State, because that was a rainy win. And, you know, we kind of joked
that
yesterday.
That was a swim meet.
Yeah, wasn't it? Right? Exactly.
I don't know if that's a soccer. I joked. I don't know if I got my 100th win. I think I got 99 soccer wins and one swim meet win. So
right, exactly. And I understand some of the players were like sliding on the field. And you tried it, I heard.
Yeah, my neck's still a little stiff from there. So that was not my smartest decision.
Right.
So.
Well, Isaac, we had John LeBlanc on the show yesterday, mm-hmm. one of our current sports PAs and reporters. And he was there covering it. And he was like, yeah. Damon slid on the turf as well. I'm like, no, he did not. You have to be kidding me. And he's like, yeah, and I think he kind of whacked his head on the turf when he took a slide.
It wasn't my, again, smartest decision I've made in the last couple months, but I think that, you know, you asked me about what's fun being around. Those guys just bring a ton of energy. They're all sliding, and you know, you remember the days when you played and you want to be a part of it. So they got me out of my comfort zone there a little bit.
your fun meter is very high right now, Damon. In comparison to other years, I mean, you have fun. When you're out there coaching, that is fun to you. And again, you talk about this group of young men. Their personalities are so down to earth, and they just vibe so well. What is different when it comes to the chemistry of this team, and how fun are you having coaching this team? How much fun are you having?
Yeah, you probably wouldn't notice it when you watch me on the sidelines, but I do have fun. And we've talked about that. You know, for us, fun is competing, working hard together, having each other's back. That's what playing good soccer, that's really what fun is kind of about when those games are there. But I think what's been really good with when you have a mature group like this, you know, you can't be serious as a heart attack every game or mm-hmm. every day. You know, you're around each other all the time. I think you got to find times to when to, you know, lighten the load and have a little fun. And they've done a really good job of knowing when to have some fun and when to turn it on and be serious and be ready to go. So I give my leaders, you know, captains like Jimmy Fiscus, Santala, and Ryan Scott a lot of credit on that.
I want to ask you now, Damon, a pretty broad question concerning soccer here in America, because I know, Isaac, you had quite the reaction when we talked about the United States men's national team falling to Trinidad and Tobago, eliminating them from World Cup contention. How would you describe, first off, how surprised were you when evaluating that final score, and how would you describe where the U.S. men's national soccer team is heading?
It sometimes can be hard to put all into one game. The first thing was just disappointing in how the players played. And how we went about that game. And I think most U.S. soccer fans have been around, have been really disappointed. It just didn't seem like there was a full effort there with everything on the line. I know it's tough when you play within 4 days, going down to Trinidad is not easy, the mm-hmm. field and all those, but you know, like anything else, there's no excuses. So, I don't know if we want to put the whole state of U.S. soccer into one game and loss, but there are certain things that we have to really evaluate as a country and move forward with. We've got to continue to let these kids grassroots soccer play and develop. We've got to find ways to help our guys that are 18 and older, whether it's through college, whether it's through professional, to continue to develop and give them good environments and give them opportunities. And then continue to for our current pros to have good opportunities to play in Major League Soccer. There's a lot of players that are international that are starring and getting paid, and so that's harder for our guys to develop. So that's a huge thing for me too. You've got to give our guys opportunities, and the other side is they've got to be good enough to earn it.
Very true. Again, head coach of the Michigan State men's soccer program, Damon Rensing. Damon, before I get you out of here, MSU Madness takes place this Friday. And, you know, I think we tried poking the bear when it came to two players at MSU Men's Basketball Media Day.
We did.
What do we ask? We asked...
Josh Langford was the most tacit of anybody.
Right. And Xavier, he didn't know anything. He's a freshman, so he's like, I don't know what Coach Izzo is doing. But you being... And I know the answer that's probably coming, but do you know what Izzo's going to do on Friday? I'm curious.
I don't.
You don't? Do you ever know what Izzo's going to do?
I honestly don't.
So you guys are just as surprised as us, right?
Yeah, I mean, I'm sure if I really wanted to, you know, go back and ask a bunch of questions and get an answer, I probably could, but... Right. And I don't know if I want that responsibility.
Right. Well, we may have to give Coach Rensing some incentive to go do that. He'll be like James Bond for us to see if we can figure it out. Oh, right. Yeah.
But I do think it's going to be a really fun team to watch.
Definitely, right?
It's going to be a fun year to follow Michigan State basketball. The Spartan basketball and the St. Louis Cardinals are my two favorite sports teams. I grew up in St. Louis, so
okay.
I'm struggling with this whole Cub thing going on these last couple of years. But other than that, it's good.
Speaking of the MLB playoffs, I mean, so who do you got in the playoffs right now, Damon? I mean, I'm pretty sure you've been following it, right?
Yeah, you got to stay up till 1 o'clock in the morning. Oh. I couldn't believe I was talking to Jake about that. It's like on Sunday afternoon. That Dodger Cubs game was awesome. You got a walk off home run, but it was at 12:30 Monday morning. But
especially for kids, I mean, who's staying up? You know, unless you got some really nice parents. I mean, what kids are staying up to watch that? Right?
I've got a 9-year-old boy who's into everything, whether it's tennis, soccer, baseball, golf.
Right.
And, you know, I kicked him to bed at 9 o'clock last night. He got to watch the first two innings of the Astros, Yankees, and that was it. I'm pulling for the Astros. You know, the fact that they do it with, you know, minimal salary and budget, I think that's cool. And they've been, you know, had a couple struggles the last handful of years, and now they've got it going. So I think that'd be cool to see. Kershaw seems like he's a good guy and it's been kind of snake bit in the playoffs. So if the Dodgers win it, you know, that'd be good. I can't pull for the Cubs. They got their World Series. You know, they've got eight more to catch my Cardinals. So
right, the honeymoon is over. Right, they got the World Series. Let's keep it moving. Right.
Yeah.
All right, Damon. Before you get out of here, remind our listeners out there again about this Friday's game. I know that'll be on the road.
Be on the road at Northwestern, 7 o'clock local time, 8 o'clock Eastern. It will be on most likely on BTN Plus for those that have that subscription. And then we've got actually the next week we've got two top five teams coming to town. Tuesday night is Notre Dame, which will be a very difficult game, and then on that Sunday is currently right now number one Indiana. So,
all right, Mr. 100, Damon Rensing, head coach of the Michigan State men's soccer team. Damon, thank you so much for your time this afternoon, and good luck this weekend.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
All right, let's hit our final break. When we come back, we will put a bow on today's current sports by briefly addressing the Mark D'Antonio press conference this morning at Spartan Stadium. And we'll also touch upon Colin Kaepernick filing a grievance with the National Football League. That and more. Don't touch that dial. Welcome back to WKAR's Current Sports. We just finished up a chat with Mr. 100, Damon Rensing, head coach of the Michigan State men's soccer program. The Spartans topping Penn State 1-0 in a just rainy, soaked, drenched day in East Lansing at DeMartin Stadium. The Spartans winning, therefore giving Coach Damon Rensing 100 career victories. Gotta love Coach Rensing. Isn't he just so down to earth, cool? I love him. One of my
fantastic
favorite coaches.
And a jack of all trades. He knew his baseball and soccer. Yeah. I mean, he should have been taking my spot, that's for sure.
Yeah, man, getting behind the board, right? Right, Isaac? All right, real briefly here. I see you're Ray from Indiana. Don't go anywhere. But I do want to play one bite from this morning's Mark D'Antonio press conference. We'll elaborate more on his presser on tomorrow's Current Sports. But Coach D, again, he holds his press conferences every Tuesday morning at 11:30 p.m. The Spartans will play host to the Indiana Hoosiers. Homecoming, 3:30 p.m. kick. Coach D is having fun right now. I mean, who wouldn't when you're 5-1? You have not lost a Big Ten game And you're riding high after coming off a year in which you went 3-9. He's been joking a lot this year and having fun with the media. And he addressed that demeanor this morning.
Well, I think the thing is they're laughing at my jokes now, so they're understanding them a little bit better. Because I don't think they laughed at them before as much. But I don't know. You know, I get to a point, you get to a point when you have a tough season like that, you just say, hey, I'm going to do the best I can. And I'm going to do the best I can for our players and for this program. And that's collectively as a group. That's what I've asked everybody to do, and that's what's happened. But it's fun to win. And I just sort of said, hey, you know, I'm going to do what I do, and let's go, and love our players, and appreciate what they've done. And so that's what we've done. But I don't know that I've changed that much. I've probably still got a little bit of orneriness in me, but snap a little bit. But I laugh about it, too.
Isaac, you just chimed in my ear and said Coach D'Antonio is having so much fun. This is probably the most fun I've seen him have in any regular season.
I wonder, how did a reporter get that out of him? Did they kidnap him and force him to say something?
Hondo Carpenter asked him about that. Of Spartan Nation, Hondo asked him, hey, man, you're having fun. You know, talk about that. And that's the response. So great question from Hondo. All right, we got 40 seconds left. I want to allow Ray from Indiana to briefly chime in. Ray, on line two, what's up, my man?
Yeah, Burr, I forgot to tell you last week, wasn't that a beautiful game? They're 2-8 now, and the slow torture of it, like Michael Hart says, we're going to beat you on the last play, and they lost again on the last play like they did 2 years ago when they lost, the Hail Mary pass was knocked down. I mean, this is just getting so beautiful every year. God finds a new way to let them lose.
Ray is still riding high when it comes to the Michigan State win over Michigan.
Humble yourselves, bullies. Humble yourselves down there. Jim Harbaugh, you're on your way out pretty quick, just like all the other coaches, all the other athletic directors. Bye-bye, Jimbo.
Ray from Indiana. Ray, thank you so much, Ray.
All right, buddy.
Ray cracks me up every time, Isaac. I tell you, it does not stop. You know, you already know what he was going to talk about, right? You knew what he was going to talk about.
You knew it.
Oh, boy. Ray from Indiana, always bringing it. All right, folks. Tomorrow, I promise you, we are going to get to the Colin Kaepernick discussion. I got some thoughts on that one. I've been trying to wrap my head around the grievance that he has decided to file against the National Football League. The NBA begins tonight. Two games that can be viewed on TNT, I believe. I'm excited about the NBA. We'll talk a lot of NBA as well. We plan to have James Edwards III on tomorrow of The Athletic. Don't miss that. He's now a beat reporter for the Pistons. See you tomorrow, folks. Same time, same place. Be easy, people.